Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
We are back and we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 240. The main event is for the featherweight championship of the world. It is Max Blessed Holloway taking on Frankie the Answer Edgar. Here to break down all things about this card from top to bottom from a DraftKings perspective. That's right, we're talking Daily Fantasy. I'm your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper, but the analyst, the more important guys on this podcast, it is Chris, also known as, and this is going to be important, guys. You can follow him on Twitter, at RealChrisOlson. Trust me, I'll get to that in a minute. Joe, better known as Sun Tzu. Guys, I think this card is getting kind of a bad rap. I think there are good fights on this card. No sexy names. Makes it really hard to sell from a pay-per-view point of view. I'm not sure it's a pay-per-view. I get the argument it's not a pay-per-view card. We're going to want to pay $65 for it. But top to bottom, we've seen some way worse cards than this. I think this card's getting a bit of a bad rap while it is a below-average pay-per-view card. Like, I'm just going to – we're talking about this pre-podcast, just examples. The Dawodu Yoshinori Hori fight's going to be fun. Jeff Neal and Nico Price should be fireworks. I'm interested in Davison Figueiredo and Alexander Pantoja. Like, there's some solid fights in this card, pay-per-view iffy. Joe, what are you thinking for this card?
Yeah, I mean, it hurts that it's 11 fights, you know, from a DFS perspective. I will say props to DK for dropping the televised slate already, which I love. That's good. But, you know, for a $50,000 first prize, 11 fights, it's going to take something really unique for, you know, one to win it. I foresee a lot of ties here, unfortunately.
That tends to be what happens on 11 fight cards. Chris, how about you? You looking forward to this at all?
Yeah, well, you kind of swayed me. As you said, we were talking about it. There are some interesting fights here. But what I would say is, you said in your intro, the two guys are more important. I would say don't be so modest, because for those who don't know, Sean actually won not one but two GPPs last week.
Right. So
he deserves a round of applause as much as it kills me inside.
And it was the hot take. Remember, I'm more proud of the hot take where I gave four fights that were all going to be in the optimal lineup, and they were all on there.
Wait. What GPPs did you win?
I won the $1 and the $4.
Nice.
So nice. I don't have the bankroll to match. The thing I've been going with lately is if I don't have the bankroll to max out a GPP, I'm only playing it with whatever tickets I win. Like, I'll play satellites and MLB and NBA and whatever $15, $20 tickets I pick up. All right, I'll play the big GPP. But other than that, you can't max it out. I don't think you should really be playing it. So I maxed the $4, I maxed the $1, play some cash, some satellites, and have a few beers.
Well, talking about hot takes, I appreciate the love I got for the hooker by knockout. I a lot of people DM'd me. A lot of people on Twitter said, you know, I caused them to reduce some of their VIC exposure. And, you know, some people tailed that play on DK. So I just saw that so clearly in my head, the way that Vic has been fighting lately, that, you know, I should have had a lot more on it, but it was good. It definitely helped me win some money.
Well, teaser to everyone. I hope you see something as clearly as your picks on the RotoWire staff prediction page indicate, because I cannot wait to get to the co-main event. I am really excited.
And that's the reason I did that, just so everyone knows.
I can't wait. Anyway, I will say, before we get this episode started, few things, guys. We're going to run a contest giveaway for our listeners and viewers, you know, everybody who can see our beautiful faces. RotoWire obviously does more than just MMA. They have a full magazine preview in the NFL season. We're going to give away 10 of those for free, be mailed to you. Here's all you have to do. You have to follow all three of us on Twitter. I'm at the DF Sniper. Chris is at Real Chris Olson. Joe is at Sunsu, S-U-N-T-S-Z-U. Give us your prediction for the main event, the co-main event, and use the hashtag FightIQ. That's all you got to do. So run through that one more time. Follow all three of us on Twitter. Send out a tweet using the hashtag FightIQ with your prediction of who's going to win the main and co-main events. It's Max Holloway, Frankie Edgar versus Chris Cyborg, and Chris Cyborg versus Felicia Spencer. That being said, guys, I'll give you another reminder later, but also go to rotowire.com/free. It's a 10-day free trial to all their premium content, no credit card required. They are the ones who make this podcast possible. We record these on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. We're in chat. Chat's already popping. Welcome, guys. Thank you. Appreciate everyone who said congrats to me in chat. Welcome, everyone. Look forward to talking in there. Friday, 8 o'clock, so you should join there. A lot of fun if you're watching live. If you can't, subscribe on iTunes, RotoWire MMA. It is a replay of that live broadcast that you can get on iTunes. So I think we got all the pleasantries out of the way.
One more pleasantry, Sean. I want everybody to go to Twitter and check out my retweet, which teased at the contest. So just check out that retweet, just in case people were worried as to what the actual prizes were. Just check out my retweet so you know what the prize is not. That's all I say.
I don't know what you're referring to, so I can't wait to introduce this first fight and open up Twitter real quick.
Yeah.
That being said, we have Kyle Stewart at 8,200 taking on Eric Koch at 8,000. Line on this fight. It's been pretty much no help in terms of breaking this down from DraftKings. It is still no help. Minus 105 apiece on five dimes. Pretty much whatever site you're at, whatever their vig is, it's minus 110 or minus 115 each guy. The fight does not go to decision is also pick 'em. Eric Koch, former 145er. This is a fight at 170. He's the more experienced guy, more technical guy. Kyle Stewart got exposed on the ground last time against Chase Rencounter. It's a close fight, though. He's the bigger guy, younger guy. Is Koch still in it? It sucks because on an 11-fight card, you really can't ignore it. But there's a lot of variables here. Joe, start us off.
So how the mighty have, I won't say fallen. It's been really, well, yeah, I guess I'll say fallen. It's been a function of inactivity. Eric Koch, who's only 30 years old, is a guy that actually was scheduled into a title fight with Jose Aldo at 145. And that did not happen. Aldo got injured. You know, he went up to 155. He got wrestle-effed by Clay Guida as a big favorite. I remember that because I really took one, a hard one there. So here he is. He's coming off of two losses. He is debuting at 170 after losing to the infamous and legendary Bobby Green and Clay Guida. I have to believe that this is his last shot. He's fought once in 2017, once in 2018. He did have a fight that was canceled against Dwight Grant in December. So, you know, inactivity has been his middle name. I have to believe that if he does not do something here, that he is either, you know, moving onward to brighter pastures or retiring. But give me, you know, give me Koch here. I like the narrative. He looked really good. He looked pretty ripped. I don't like that he did a home camp. I see that kind of as a negative, but I don't think Stewart is all that good. You know, he obviously got exposed by Chase Reencounter, who turned out to be a bit better than we all might have thought. But I'll take Coke here. I think this is a decision fight. And unfortunately, to Sean's point, with 11 fights on the card, it's kind of difficult to completely fade fights. So be cautious. I don't see this as a high-scoring fight, unless I'm mistaken. But give me some Coke here.
Okay, Joe wants Coke. Chris.
Yeah, that was well executed. I'm not sure this is a close fight in terms of skills anyway. I think Eric Coke is by far the more technical, faster, more diverse striker, better wrestler. But the one big if that has to come at the end of that is that Kyle Stewart has the opportunity to knock him out. If he can back him up and land, we've seen we haven't seen him stopped very many times in the octagon. We've seen him stopped a couple, but we have seen him maybe not take punches quite as well as we might like from a fighter that we're betting on or playing DraftKings on, whatever the case may be. So that is kind of a concern. Kyle Stewart does have a kind of a bullying wrestling game that he can turn on if he wants to, but I think that Coke is the better wrestler here. I think he can use that in maybe not the same way Reencounter did. Reencounter is a good long grappler, but I think that he can still use it to his advantage, and I think that as long as he avoids getting knocked out, I mean, this is Coke's fight to lose, I think. So I'm going to be pretty heavy on Eric Coke here, but I think that Kyle Stewart is very capable of landing a big shot and taking him out. So have some Stewart. I think that people will be off of him probably based on the lackluster way that his debut went. But he does have a puncher's chance here. Overall, though, the pick is Eric Coke pretty solidly.
Moving on, Jillian Robertson, 8,600, taking on Sarah Froda at 7,600. Robertson, minus 125, got some odds value here on Froda, up to plus 115. But I think it's going to keep on falling. I suspect this could be about pick'em come fight time. Women's fight, minus 190. Well, floating around minus 200 in some places, inside the distance. Look, Robertson fights go quick. It's going to be – she's going to look to grapple and look for a submission. Froda is a BJJ black belt. I looked up where it's from. It's from Gracie Barra out in California, so it should be a legit black belt. Has power. Robertson has no striking. I see past the victory for high scoring for both of them. I think this is a time that I want to load up on the women's fight. In terms of pricing, I'm picking Robertson to win, but as – Froda has probably the highest ceiling among the dogs on the card. So I like Robertson to win, but I think Froda is the better DK play. Chris, start us off on this fight.
Yeah, so I think that Sarah Froda is, you know, she's intriguing because she's big and powerful for this weight class. But, I mean, that's really all she is. She's a janky kickboxer. She's got level one takedown defense. She can hard sprawl, but that's about all she can do. And Jillian Robertson, you know, pursues takedowns. We saw that in the Macedo fight. She holds on to your leg. You can't just defend once. She's going to reshoot and she's going to do what she can to take you to the ground. I will totally concede that if she catches Robertson, she could knock her out. I'm not the biggest Jillian Robertson fan. I've picked against her in times when the public wasn't, but I like her here just because Froda, I don't think really belongs at this level. At least Robertson has one skill set that is this caliber. Froda really doesn't have that except for power. And I feel like Robertson should be able to hit reactive shots on winging hooks. And as long as she can keep herself from getting knocked out, I feel like this is her fight to win, either just by relentless takedowns and grappling or a sub finish. So I'm taking Robertson here. And I think the public is going to be on Froda for the reasons Sean mentioned. So I actually like Robertson quite a bit here.
Joe.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on Froda here. It's interesting, you know, she wore glasses to the ceremonial weigh-ins, and someone said she looked like an MS-13 librarian, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, the MS-13 thing is just to throw them under the bus. At TFS Army, that's our boy Kevin, the fantasy football geek. That's what he's been referring to her everywhere. I won't go in depth there, but
that was hilarious.
There's a bunch of crossover in the DFS MMA world. There's a lot of, you know, we all kind of know each other, and that's where that reference came from.
Yeah, since I don't have a lot of hardcore analysis on this fight, quick segue. You know, thanks to everyone who's in chat. Our boy Nandala on Twitter, our Brigadine Randigoon, I'll tell you, if I ever get on like a show where I need to phone someone, it's going to be him. I consider myself to be pretty smart, and I don't understand half the shit this guy says. But yeah, thank you for being in chat, guys. I like Frota here. I think that, you know, Frota, by the way, did finish Viviana, who's fighting later on in this card. She did come in 8 pounds heavy on short notice against Souza. That was a split decision loss. Jillian Robertson has been with ATT since she wasn't legally allowed to dye her hair red. I've got Frota here. It's interesting that, you know, you see these 115 cards with, you know, inside the distance, favored inside the distance like this. But I think Frota is going to be very popular. There is line value here. She's very cheap. So, you know, I will have some Robertson in mass entry, but I'm going to pick Frota to win.
All right, next up, a fight that should be way further up the card. It is Alexandre Pantoja, 8,300, taking on Davison Figueiredo at 7,900. Pantoja minus 115, Figueiredo plus 105. Pantoja more volume, Figueiredo more power. Figueiredo has some wrestling. Pantoja, world-class BJJ game that I wish he would use more. Ultimately, I think Figgy's going to need a knockout to win this fight, but I think Pantoja at 125 and a low inside the distance prop. I like Pantoja in this fight. It's a matter of how much does he score. It's a mid-range fight. High-level fight, though, really close. I just lean Pantoja for the volume, and I think he's better on the ground. If anyone's going to get a flash knockout, though, to break the whole slate, it could be Figueiredo. It'd be him before it'd be Pantoja, in my opinion. So give me Pantoja, though, to win this fight via decision. Joe?
Yeah, this is tough for me because – when salaries came out, I originally migrated to Figueiredo. I mean, I was on him in his last fight against Formiga. He got wrestle-effed against Formiga. Pantoja, Ultimate Fighter alum, was on as a Novo Uniao trained fighter. You know, the Brazilian camps have been taking quite a hit lately. You know, his career has been interesting, right? So he comes off a loss in The Ultimate Fighter. He split decisions against Eric Shelton. You know, chokes out the senior citizen, Neil Siri, loses unanimous decision to Dustin Ortiz, and then, you know, wins against McLovin, submits Sasaki, and, you know, I think his probably most impressive performance was his last one, and that's why there might be a little bit of recency bias here. He finishes, you know, the ghost of Wilson Heiss. Figueiredo, on the other hand, I was very high on. I mean, he is quite the hitter. Unfortunately, he does not throw a lot of volume, and Pantoja has never been finished in his entire career. But I definitely think that he is a notch up in terms of competition. I was disappointed that he didn't do better against Formiga. I was very impressed with what he did to Moraga and Morales, and I think he's fought slightly better competition in the UFC. I am going to go with Figueiredo. I think it's a boom or bust kind of play, GPPs only. Don't like him in cash. Price is attractive at 7.9K. You know, as a GPP fighter with a relatively high ceiling and no floor, I'm going to go with Figueiredo.
Chris?
Yeah, this is a tough fight for me. I was kind of going back and forth on it. I think the deciding factor here for me is that Pantoja is a little too stationary in the pocket, and that is going to allow Figueiredo to get in on his hips the same way Wilson Heist did. It seems like Pantoja has to fend off at least one takedown every fight. It's almost like he just doesn't care. He uses that stationary style because he knows, or he's very confident in his ability to out-scramble people. But Figueiredo might be a different beast. Probably the strongest guy he's ever fought.
Okay. Time out. I just can say, I think that's because he doesn't care if he's taken down. His BJJ game is really good. It is
I understand. I understand. I like that you felt the need to time me out to tell me that Figueiredo has a good BJJ game.
No. Pantoja,
that's right.
But that's what it is, though. Like, I wish if Figueiredo looks for takedowns, I think he's going to regret it. I think he will get subbed.
Well, what I was going to say is, I mean, you might be right, but what I was going to say is that this is probably the biggest, strongest guy he's ever fought. So it'll be interesting to see how he does on bottom here. And I don't think I could trust him being able to out-scramble Figueiredo the same way he could out-scramble smaller guys, smaller competition. Could be wrong about that. That's just a hunch. And I think everybody who plays this fight is going to have to decide that for themselves. I think the strength of Figueiredo is going to be too much. I think the flat-footedness of Pantoja is going to allow for the stalking Figueiredo to get his Muay Thai game working, land some of those hard kicks, get some takedowns, and ultimately I think it's going to lead to a Figueiredo decision. So that's where I'm going.
All right.
Gavin Tucker, 8,400, taking on Sung Woo Choi at 7,800. Gavin Tucker coming off of a horrific beating 2 years ago against Rick Glenn. The line has flipped in this one as Sung Woo Choi, who lost his UFC debut but was impressive. A theme on this card, which I put out a tweet earlier in the week about, his was against Movsar Ivloev. Long guy, he's got a big reach advantage here. Tucker got that snap beat out of him. They should stand and trade. If the line is flipped, Choi's the favorite, minus 110, Tucker plus 100. Put Choi in your cash lineups. That's pretty much, I mean, at this point, you almost need to in terms of line value. Yeah, it's the ceiling in this fight is tricky. I don't think Choi's going to have that kind of volume that Rick Glenn put on, although Rick Glenn isn't like a world beater. So I like Choi in this fight. I can't trust Tucker. I know he's at TriStar now, but that camp, that's not going to help his DFS potential. That camp is death to DFS. So just low output point fighting style. So I like Choi. I do think he's a better cash game play than GPP, but to me, the pick is Sung Woo Choi by decision. Chris.
I love Will's comment in chat. He said, I was loving Choi until that bookie that the UFC uses on the Contender Series picked him.
That was awful.
So now I do it either way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to go back. I wanted to do it, and you mentioned chat, and it reminded me. So Joe, going back a couple fights, somebody in chat one way. His hot take for the card is that Joe secretly thinks Frode is the most attractive on this card. And no. It's my favorite hot take probably that we've ever had. Wow. Okay.
That would be a hot take.
Yes.
Chris, you're up.
Well, okay, but I kind of agree about Choi.
About Frode? What?
I think that you never know. But I just think that, look, there's a narrative around that Tucker-Gavin fight where Gavin was doing well in the first round and then gassed and then Glenn took over. But that's not really the case. Not only was that first round close, but Tucker got dropped in the first round by Rick Glenn with a nice little 1-2. So I think it was the height and reach that was really troubling him. I think it's going to trouble him again. The flip side of this fight and the reason why, if you are on Gavin Tucker, and there might be reason to be now that the line is flipped, that, Choi got really wrestle mugged in his debut. And Gavin Tucker, we haven't seen him do a ton of wrestling, but we know that it's in his game. He's got a well-rounded skill set. So if he can look for the path of least resistance and get the wrestling going again, then I think he should totally do that. And I think that's a legitimate path to victory for him. Now, the gassing is an issue, and we'll have to see if he can, keep his tank up. We don't know how much he'll be able to wrestle. That's not really a skill set that he uses a lot, at least not relentlessly. So we'll have to see. But I think there's a path for Gavin if he wrestles. But if it's on the feet, I think the length and the height and the reach rather will be an issue for him again. So the pick is Choi. But if the line flip is going to send people towards Choi, I think Tucker could be a kind of a sneaky play.
Joe.
Geez, Chris stole all the thunder here. So, 2 years off, some of which has been at TriStar. He was training at a local camp up in Halifax. Prior to that, Nova Scotia. There were some things to like about him, his movement. Unfortunately, we only really saw him against Sam Cecilia in the UFC, which, again, is not a great test of one's skills. I agree with everything pretty much Chris said. I mean, he's got negative line value. Excuse me. So it could be sneaky play. I'm going to stay with Choi, but I think you should have some shares in GPPs of Gavin.
Hakeem Dawodu, 9,300, taking on Yoshinori Horii at 6,900. Dawodu is the favorite, minus 365. Comeback on Horii, plus, that's a weird one, plus 328 on five times. Decent inside the distance prop on this fight. Two guys who like to stand and trade. Dawodu's flashed a questionable chin. Yoshinori Horii has beat up a bunch of scrubs and pancreas. Dawodu should be better, but both guys like to stand and trade. I like this fight a lot for GPPs. I think it's sneaky. Ultimately, the pick is Dawodu, but if I do not put a Horii knockout out of the realm of possibility, and he would break the slate at 6,900. So I'm mixing him in GPPs for sure for me. But Dawodu should be the cleaner, better striker fighting at home in a fight where two guys should stand and trade. Joe.
Not only has he been fighting scrubs in pancreas, he has been fighting guys who are collecting Social Security. I think the average age of his last four opponents is like north of 40. And one of those is a loss, just so everybody knows. He's got a lot of flash. He's got speed. If Dawodu fights his kind of fight, which is kind of a boring technical fight, this should be another win for him. I just don't know what he's going to score. That's my problem with Dawodu. I mean, he has never really been a great DraftKings fighter. So from that respect, I agree with Sean. If you're looking for a punt with some upside, go with Hayori. But I have to say, of all the fighters in that 8.8 to 9.6 range, Dawodu is probably my least favorite just based on past precedent. Now watch him go out and starch this guy, but I will pick Dawodu for the win. But he's not my favorite play in that price point.
I like him much more than I like Araujo or Jaco.
Well, Jaco, yes, Araujo, no. I like Araujo more, but we could talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there. Chris, how about this fight?
Yeah, not only to Joe's point, not only was one of those four fights a loss, was a knockout loss, and yeah. It was started with a nice little 1-2 that touched his chin. Now, to his credit, he hung in there a little bit after that, but was finished, and so that's something to be wary of. Dawodu is going to be faster than him. He hits very hard. He likes to mix up his game well, but Dawodu does have a questionable chin. We have to go back to the Danny Henry fight where he himself caught the business end of a 1-2 on the chin. And Yori's style is, he'll throw two shots in a row sometimes, but mainly he's a one shot kickboxer. He can counter really well, and he's got some speed of his own. Now, generally his defense is pretty good. I will say that. He keeps distance pretty well, so the flash knockout was kind of a surprise to me. But now that it's happened, we have to take it into consideration. I'm kind of scared of this fight just because I think the public perception will be, oh, Dawodu is just going to take this guy out, and that's going to be the end of it. I think Horii has a path here. I think that we've seen Dawodu really just let his hands float and not play defense all that much. We saw that in the Steven Seiler fight in a different organization. So I'm kind of worried about Dawodu here, to be honest. I could see this fight very easily being one where Dawodu is in control and then he just gets clipped and then that's the end of the fight. So the pick is going to be Dawodu, but I have my reservations. I think that Yuri can touch his chin, and if he does, I think the night could be over. So I would mix this up. I would, like Sean said, slate breaker if the 6,900 comes through. So half shares of both, but the pick is Dawodu.
Speaking of just odd feelings, Vivian Araujo, 9,100, taking on Alexis Davis at 7,100. Araujo minus 185. It's kind of low for 9,100. Alexis Davis plus 170 at 7,100. Araujo has everybody talking because she flatlined Talita Bernardo up a weight class on short notice in her UFC debut.
Up two weight classes.
That was at 35. Isn't this a fight of 25?
Yeah, but she actually most of her fights were at 115.
But she's fighting at 25.
Now right. She is. Yeah.
Semantics. Yeah. One or two weight classes. I'm going to say one, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Alexis Davis, we know her from such scintillating striking battles as the one against Cindy Dandois. But if you want to go watch that fight, just bring something to spoon out your eyes halfway through. That being said, like Alexis Davis is tough, and Arubo's going to have to get her out quick. I know she flatlined to lead to Bernardo, but Bernardo's a grappler. Like, Alexis Davis does not have good striking, but I think it's more seasoned, at least. It goes to decision. I mean, call me crazy, but we've seen weirder things in Canada. Arujo should win this fight. I'm more questioning her upside. I don't want to rely on the one-punch knockout power of a woman's flyweight. So for me, the price tag is a bit much for Arujo. I wanted to look up real quick while I'm talking what the inside the distance prop was for that fight. And that does not go to decision is plus 150. So Vegas expecting a decision, 9,100. You got Chris Cyborg, Max Holloway up there. Like, it's tough for me to pay for Arujo. We'll start with Chris in this one. I do think she wins, but I don't think Alexis Davis is the craziest play, especially on an 11-fight card.
Yeah, well, I think she wins pretty comfortably, and I do think that Davis is kind of a crazy play. I just think, I mean, you're right that she might be a more seasoned striker, but it's really upright and janky. If this is on the feet, she's not really going to have a chance against Arroyo. Her only chance is to use her physicality and see if she can get this fight to the ground, which in her debut against Bernardo, she showed some good hips and a nice base. She was able to actually get on top from a takedown that Bernardo was attempting. So I don't really put a lot of faith in her ability to take the fight to the floor either. I just think she pieces Davis up for 15 minutes. I think she might not get her out of there. I think it's going to be pretty high volume, though. I understand the reservations about the price, but I think she's pretty safe, at least in cash. And I definitely think it's a good fight to bet at. What was it? Minus 185?
Yes.
So I think that would be a great spot to bet it. I understand the reservations, but I don't give Davis much of a shot here.
Joe,
you're still muted, bud.
Yeah, I know. So I was just doing a quick little bit of research. Arujo by any KO or submission or DQ is plus 175 on DK Sportsbook. I like her to finish this. I was one of the many people, I shouldn't say many, there was a core group of us that were on her against Bernardo at 6.9K as plus 230 underdog. Really made my night having her come in like that and getting that finish in the third round. Look, Davis is 34. I think her best days are behind her. The one reason why I will likely have a few shares of her in GPPs is she's really cheap and she's Canadian. So if the fight is close, maybe, who knows, but I think, you know, Arujo is the future. I really liked what I saw, her movement. Someone who's fought their entire career at strawweight, moves up two weight classes to take a short notice fight on 3 days notice, weighs in light on that fight, and then just, you know, really dominates with her movement. Bernardo, I'm really excited to see what she could do at 125. I think this is going to be a signature win for her, and you will see her in the top five in no time at all.
All right, moving on. Actually, I'm going to take a pause there. Reminder to everyone listening, or if you joined us late, we are having a giveaway on Fight IQ. Hopefully there'll be more of these to come, and not just magazines, as I'm going to tell you about in a second, but other kinds of giveaways. RotoWire obviously does more than just MMA. They have their season-long fantasy football preview magazine out. I'm going to give away 10 copies of those for free to our listeners. All you have to do is follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at the DF Sniper. Chris is at Real Chris Olson. Joe is at Sun Tzu, SunTsz. You give us your prediction of who's going to win the main event and the co-main event, and use the hashtag FightIQ. And if you want, throw something fun in there about why you love the show. That would make me happy. I assume most of you are going to say how we give Chris a hard time, which we haven't done yet. And I just realized All our main card picks agree on. I agree with you. Oh, this could be a boring episode. I got to find something out here.
I always love these events. They're my favorite. I actually think that we're melding minds, and it's just not yet complete.
I don't. I've won $5 off of you in the last two events. I got to find a bet somewhere in the rest.
I know.
Anyway, guys.
In a way, can I? I'm sorry. Before we continue, can I just say I have my magazine already. I read it the other week when my power was out last week. It's got a lot of advanced statistics, average depth of target, air yards. It tells you how combine stuff and physical attributes correlate to performance. So a lot of advanced stats in there, leaderboards, good things to get you the jump on your season league. You guys want this? It's good information. So yeah, get those entries in on Twitter.
Chris, I'm guessing you did not see my tweet as to what the alternative prize was.
I did not. What was it?
It was a all expenses paid date with the real Chris Olsen, including his mom's meatloaf.
Oh man.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people that said they wanted the meatloaf. So you must be looking sharp and groomed.
Yeah, no, I have been working out lately. Thank you guys for noticing. There's some fun things to do around here. We can go see a movie. So we haven't ruled that out, but maybe that'll be for future weeks. We'll see.
Yeah, and I will buy popcorn and a raspberry Slurpee. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, you guys, we're trying to hook Chris up. We got to get him out of the basement. You know, so anybody who wants to date the real Chris Olsen, the movie's on me.
All right. Yes. You heard it here first, folks.
If anybody out there watches Your Mom's House podcast, this is eerily similar to what they're doing with Josh Potter. I'm not gonna go into the specifics, but wow.
Yeah, for the love of God, can we get back to fights,
please? I don't know. Everybody, take part of the contest, please.
Which fight are we on?
We are starting the main card right after Chris puts away his season-long magazine. And we can get into Christophe Jacquot at 8,700, taking on Marc-Andre Barriot, who is at 7,500. Jacquot is minus 170. The comeback on Barriot is plus 150. Look, Jacquot to me is still kind of unproven. I know he's more seasoned. I think he could have, you know, he needs to get back to his grappling. That's when he was successful. He's flashed a questionable chin at times. Uriah Hall hit him with a murderous shot. I'm not going to, you know, he gassed himself out in that fight. That being said, Barrio hits hard, and he was able to defend takedowns and hold his own against who I think is a better wrestler in Andrew Sanchez. I think he's live in this fight. I don't trust Jocko at minus 170, 8,700. And he doesn't typically score high in his fight. So I like Barrio here in all formats. I think if Jocko wins, I don't think it'll be quick. I think Barrio's got a floor and a sneaky high ceiling if the chin of Jocko flashes. So give me Marc-Andre Barrio to I'm going to call a second round knockout for the Canadian. Chris.
Yeah, well, this is one of the main event fights, the first one of all of them, in fact, that we agree on, as you said. This was a close fight for me. The reason I ultimately ended up going with Barrio is because, like you said, I saw the same thing in the Andrew Sanchez fight. Sanchez was able to get him down at times, but Barrio made him pay every time when he would get back to his feet. He would show a nice clinch game with those uppercuts. He's a good kickboxer from distance. And Jocko, I mean, he showed a good wrestling game in his last fight. He showed a good, consistent wrestling game, more so than we've ever seen him before. I don't know if we can trust him to do that again. And even if we can, I'm not sure that Barrio will be susceptible to it, as, you know, Jocko obviously isn't the wrestler that Andrew Sanchez is. So this is a close fight for me. I do have durability questions, as Sean does, which is part of the reason I'm going with Barrio here. I think he's got enough power. I think he's got enough of a clinch game to make it work when they're in there. And I like Barrio to maybe get a finish as well. So that's the pick.
Joe?
Yeah, we're starting to see some line movement in Barrio's favor here. You know, for those who are interested in Barrio by finish, you could get plus 300, I believe, on plus 300 on DK Sportsbook, any finish.
Really? Because I bet him by, damn it, I think I bet him earlier in the week at to win inside the distance. Not that good. I will say real quick, because I want to look up what it is, because you just mentioned that, all the Canadians are seeing money come in on them. Yeah, when I bet Barrio inside the distance, it was plus 275. Damn it.
No, this is by DQ, submission, or knockout, plus 300 for right now on the DK Sportsbook. So the lines are kind of wonky. Like, sometimes they're better than five dimes, other times they're worse. So anyway, we're starting to see some money move. I think Jocko was exposed by Brad Tavares. He came into that fight as a favorite. Tavares just destroyed him standing. You know, my concern is, and here's what's interesting about it, is I don't think Jotko is a better, has a better ground game than Sanchez. So if Barreau was able to get up and hurt Sanchez on occasion, I don't know why he can't do the same thing here against Jotko. I do think Jotko is interesting because he's probably going to be one of the lower owned guys at that price point. So he might be worth a small GPP punt that way, but I'm going to kind of like, you know, make it a trifecta here and go with Barrio to, you know, to get the win here.
Chris, wait,
I mean, I like hearing myself talk. I can go again.
Sorry. Yeah. The whole betting thing threw me off.
Okay.
Anyway, Armand Sukarian, 8,800, taking on Olivier Aubon Mercier, the Canadian gangster at 7,400. Sarukian, though, coming off his UFC debut loss, again, against Islam Makhachev, great name, and performed well in that fight. He's a minus 165 favorite. OAM seems to be declining, plus 155, coming off of two straight losses. Should be a lot of grappling. I mean, you expect to see a lot of grappling in this fight as both guys look to grapple. I'm kind of suspicious this is going to turn into one of those grapplers cancel each other out type of fights. I think Mercier is live, but I like the young guy in Sukarian. He's unproven, and it's a really slight lean. I'm not as confident as some people. I need to see it a little more. As much as I love OAM, he's made me quite a bit of money in the past. I don't think it's a great matchup for him, and I kind of think he's on the back end of his career. As much as I love the fanny pack, Joe.
Yeah, so a little bit of narrative around this. It's been kind of fairly well publicized, at least on Twitter, that OAM actually hired an MMA handicapper to do a profile of his opponent.
We're all guessing who it is, by the way. I think there are two front runners. You want to give who you think it is?
I have no idea.
The names I'm hearing most, and my guess is it's Luca Fury, or the other one out there is Gabe Killian.
Gabe Killian would probably make more sense, but in any case, yeah, I mean, OAM could in theory be cut here. I'm with you, Sean. It's really difficult to have a lot of confidence in a guy coming off a debut loss, even though he looked very impressive. The narrative around this kid is he's 22 years old. He won a year's free training at Tiger Muay Thai in Phuket. You know, by winning a tournament, and now he moved his game over to ATT. So he's making all the right moves. The only fighter the only fighter to ever take down Islam Makhachev, which is kind of part of the narrative here. I do like him. I'm not sure, you know, he's got some really unique knockouts and finishes and ground and pound. The other part of the narrative here is, well, if Alex Hernandez, you know, could grind out OAM, you know, everybody is of the belief that, you know, this is a serious bet in Alex Hernandez. Why can't he? The back narrative from OAM is that, hey, I overtrained, whatever that means. Like, I overtrained and I was tired and, you know, that's what happened here. So I do like him. His price is very interesting. I mean, I could see him getting, you know, rinse and repeat takedowns, maybe even getting a late finish. I'm going to go with him for the win. But I think based on the fact that he's got his back up against the wall and he is a Canadian fighter, that you should probably have a few shares of OAM and GPPs.
Chris.
So I kind of hope that it turns into what you said, Sean, which was that grapplers cancel each other out kickboxing match. Because if that happens, I think Cernenko is the way better kickboxer here.
Well, you just pulled a Joe. That's just Joe's job.
What's his name?
Sarenko's a tennis player. Armand Sukarian.
Sukarian, and you're right. Yes, she is a tennis player. Okay, so I think Sukarian, that's what I said the first time, is the much better kickboxer here. I also think that I was really impressed by the way he scrambled with Makhachev. OAM has never really been somebody I liked all that much. He came forward a little bit more in his last fight, but he's very susceptible to being put on the back foot, and he's sort of a one-shot kickboxer. He can throw pretty heavy, But I like Cernenko to keep distance and just have a more active, diverse striking game on the feet. And on the ground, it will be interesting to see what they do. It's a lot more even there. But I think that give me his name again.
Armin Tsarukyan.
Tsarukyan. There, I'll never forget it. I think Tsarukyan could probably outscramble him as well. And as I said, if it stays on the feet, I like him a whole lot. So that's my pick for the fight.
All right, moving on. We have Jeff Neal at 9,000, taking on Nico, the hybrid price at 7,200. This fight should be fireworks. Neal at minus 325, price at plus 295. Does not go to decision, minus 400. Light them up. Somebody just, two guys stand and trade until one guy falls. Price has just some crazy knockouts. Neal looked great against Frank Camacho. I kind of doubted him. I saw he has some takedown defense. Look, in this type of firefight, give me Jeff Neal, but I want tons of this fight in GPPs. Someone's going to fall. Joe. Oh, no, sorry, up to Chris. Chris, you go first.
Yes. Yeah, someone is going to fall, and it's going to be Nico Price. I've been heavy on Jeff Neal ever since he came in. I was heavy on him against Camacho. He is legitimately one of the quickest and most powerful guys in the division, I think. He combines those skill sets so well. He goes in combinations very well. He's defensively responsible. I think he is a complete fighter. I think we're going to see big, big things from him. Look, Nico Price should be lauded for his heart and the way he tends to grind and finds wins in these fights. And he obviously can throw hard. And if he touches you on the chin, he can beat you. But I got to be honest, I really don't see that happening here. I think that Jeff Neal, I mean, if you want to say the takedown is maybe a threat, I don't really see Nico Price doing a ton of wrestling, a ton of committed wrestling. And even if he did, as Sean said, I think that Neal has a good enough takedown defense to weather it. I just think Neal is light years ahead on the feet, and I think this is going to end in a knockout for Jeff Neal.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, everything what Chris just said. I think you should have a few shares of Price. He has a high ceiling but a zero floor. So GPPs only, but I think Neal is pretty solid. He's certainly a pivot off of perhaps Cyborg, and you could use the money to upgrade your lower tier part of your lineup. So I definitely like Neal here. I will have some shares of Price in GPPs, but give me Jeff Neal.
All right, moving on to our co-main event. Chris Cyborg, 9,600 on DraftKings. That's a lot. Felicia Spencer, 6,600. Spencer, plus 435. Come back on Cyborg. Minus 500 for
there
Cyborg.
There it comes.
Minus 600 ends inside the distance. Cyborg, last. I'm going to steal Joe's thunder. It is the last fight on her contract. Could be looking to go elsewhere. Spencer is at least a legit 145er. Big lady who I will – not big as in large, big as in like she's an actual 145er.
How dare you.
And so I was just – and I'm going to follow by saying I didn't realize she was as good looking as I thought she was. For what it's worth in women's MMA, I know it's pretty sexist and we shouldn't talk about it, but it is what it is. I was pleasantly surprised when I saw some of her interviews this week. Cyborg's going to maul her, though, in my opinion. Like, Joe, you picked Spencer. How does she not get destroyed? I think she needs the feet. There's no contest. And Spencer, she looks for a takedown. Cyborg should just shrug her off and beat the shit out of her. Sorry.
Okay, so I'll talk about the pick in a second. I honestly think Spencer, she's only 5'6". She should be able to make 135. I mean, again, I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not part of her camp, but it would seem to me that she should be able to make 135. I would love to see her at bantamweight, just because there's just so few fights right now at 145. And unless the UFC is going to make a commitment to building up the weight class, there's going to be like periods of inactivity. I was on her in a major way against Megan Anderson. Spencer, the phenom, is Anderson's kryptonite. So let's talk about the pick. So I was looking for a way to differentiate myself from the rest of the selectors.
You did it.
Mission accomplished.
I am, for the purpose of this podcast, I'm picking Cyborg to win. However, I have seen some interesting Cyborg fights where, you know, she essentially carried Tonya Avenger for three rounds. Holly Holm went the distance. None of those have the wrestling, the offensive wrestling that Spencer has. So, you know, maybe she gets a few takedowns. Look, I just don't know what's in Cyborg's head here. I don't know if she even wants her contract renewed. She's been talking about, like, some boxing slash wrestling promotion. You know, she makes money on merchandising, her name. So I don't know, like, what she is wanting here. Whether she wants to put on, an impressive performance and you know, get her contract renewed. She is a pretty high ticket for the UFC in terms of fighter comp. So I'm going to pick her to win. Again, my fear is that at 9.6K, a lot of things have to happen for you to get value. She's probably a better cash play than she is a GPP play. Because if you're looking at 12X to hit optimal, a lot has to happen when you're at 9.6K. So I think I like her better in cash. I will take Cyborg to win. I do think there are better GPP plays in that price point, which we'll talk about coming up. So, you know, give me Cyborg. Would it shock me if Spencer scored 25, 30 points in a loss? No.
It would shock me.
Really?
For what that's worth. Yeah, I think this is going to be over in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Chris.
Yeah, well, Joe chickened out. That was kind of disappointing. I was hoping to hear.
Going to make a legitimate case for Spencer to win.
I was hoping to hear.
It's all based on narrative.
All right. Well, I mean, I think there's a reason why Joe couldn't do it, and I don't think it's possible. I think, like, on the feet, she's just an upright, slow striker. And look, could she take her down? Maybe that is sort of a question mark. We haven't really seen anybody try to wrestle Cyborg in a long time. We saw Kunitskaya get the one low single kick down on her.
Yep.
But she got right back to her feet and wasn't able to take her down again. Even if she got her down, it would kind of surprise me if she could hold her there. I just don't see any. I think this is going to follow in the mold of all of Cyborg's fights before Amanda Nunes, all of her recent ones, by which I mean the Lena Landsbergs and the Kunitskayas, where she's just going to touch her opponent a couple times on the chin. They're going to fall, and that's going to be the end of the fight. I think that you can expect 105 to 110 pretty comfortably here. So I think that makes her pretty live everywhere. And, Cyborg all day.
So how are you going to get 110 if she drops Spencer in the first 2 minutes?
Because she's not going to drop her in the – if you get those fights before Cyborg – most of them go like 3 or 4 minutes.
I said two.
End of first round.
That is my word. Too quick.
Huh?
I was saying I agree. I said 2 minutes, and that's my big worry. Joe is too quick.
It could be too quick, but here let's we can see if I'm right in real time here. We can pull them up. Kunitskaya, she got 112. Okay, Avenger was only 92, so that wouldn't work.
89 against Holm. 134 against Landsberg.
Leslie Smith was 116. So look, she's been getting it done. I won't say more often than that, but I mean, I guess you could say about as often as she doesn't. So maybe it's been 50-50 in the space of those fights. But for this one, I just think that Spencer has nothing for her. Maybe she's tough enough to withstand a little bit of a beating, and you get your value.
Main event time, Max Holloway, 9,400, taking on Frankie the Answer. Edgar at 6,800. Holloway minus 320, Edgar plus 290. Holloway, a DraftKings scoring machine. Edgar, probably the best wrestler Holloway's ever faced. Holloway's had good takedown defense in the past. Should get tested here. Edgar knocked out by Brian Ortega. You know, that's concerning. The win over Cub Swanson doesn't do a ton for me. Either way, this fight's going to end up on the optimal. I'm going to stack it up. I don't think Holloway finishes Edgar quick, even in a win. He's a volume guy. And as Edgar's going to look for takedowns. I like both sides of this fight. GPPs, I got to favor Max Holloway. Just younger, fresher, more volume. The worry is, when is the weight cut going to start getting to Max Holloway? Don't think it's quite yet. Give me Holloway here, Chris.
Yeah, stacking it up is fine. And I'm not usually a proponent of doing that. But in this fight, like you said, I think there's going to be volume on both sides. This fight is actually – pretty fascinating to me because on the feet, if it stays there, both of these guys pretty much try to do the same thing. They want to get in your face. They want to box you up. They want to push the pace. Now, I do think that Max Holloway is better at doing that than Frankie Edgar, which is why I'm picking Max Holloway. I think Max is the better guy at doing what Frankie tries to do on the feet. And look, that elbow from Brian Ortega, it's not the first time we've seen Edgar wade in and get cracked for it. It's just the first time it's finished him. So I think that Max could catch him here with something, but if not, I think that he's probably going to stay on his feet. That's going to lead to a lot of volume, and I think it's going to be a Max Holloway, that is, victory.
Joe?
Yeah, so, you know, here's what frustrates me about this matchup, is so many people are talking about this fight as if a prime Frankie is going to show up, and not a guy who's 37 years old, coming off of a 16-month layoff, where he didn't look great against a guy named Cub Swanson who's finishing out his contract.
Did he?
I was at that fight. He did not look great in that fight.
Did he look bad? Hang on.
Finished Cub in that
fight. Did he look bad against Ortega before he got caught with the elbow?
Ortega is not a great striker, dude.
But what I'm saying is he did what he always does.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, people are like judging Frankie on his body of work, which is a huge issue for me for a 37-year-old fighter coming off a 16-month layoff. In the words of the notorious B.I.G., give me loot, Max Holloway, cash, GPP, slate breaker, give me loot.
Yeah, we got to end this podcast because Joe's dropping rap references. Like, we got to get the hell out of here.
Who does not like the notorious B.I.G., please?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that just means it's time to leave.
Give me loot.
Before we do that, guys, drop some hot takes in chat. We're going to read a viewer hot take before we get to our hot takes for UFC 240. Reminders, giving away the RotoWire season-long fantasy football preview. Follow all of us on Twitter. I won't read through the names again. Follow us on Twitter. Tell us who's going to win the main and co-main event and use the hashtag FightIQ. Hot takes. Guys, you got one ready before we get to a viewer?
I'm good, man. I got my hot take. I'm going to live up to my sometime moniker, the chick whisperer. I'm going to say Viviana gets a finish and Froda gets a finish.
Nice. Okay. Someone, that's funny. You took Daniel Morey's thunder. He said all women fights end in TKO KO. I'm going to read Nandalal's main event is not in the optimal lineup. He was saying that Holloway is going to drop Edgar too quick.
I could see the co-main event not being in the optimal.
He said the main, and I wanted to. There was another good one that One Way had. I gotta find it. It was really good too. Damn.
Okay, while you're looking at that, I want to make a public service announcement. The next week's UFC card is in the great state of New Jersey. It is a very early card, very weird. It's a noon start time Eastern. I am asking if anyone of our millions of listeners are going to be attending that card. I am on the fence right now. I'm kind of hoping for a hookup by DK. But if you are thinking of attending that fight, drop me a DM in Twitter. Be good to catch up and meet with some guys. I'm like contemplating maybe getting a group of guys together and kind of having a late breakfast before the fights. So let me know if anybody's planning on going to that card. It looks like we got a pretty nice main event, although we did lose a fight with Ivalev not being able to get a visa. I'm not sure if that fight's going to be replaced or not. And also, to the surprise of my illustrious co-hosts here, if I am fortunate enough to advance to the next round of the knockout challenge on DraftKings, I will need to abstain from potting next week. If I get into the money round,
You don't want to jinx yourself, man. You got to.
I was almost like not going to say anything, but you know, we'll look for a suitable, replacement for that week. Just so I could kind of focus on what I need to do. We are playing for 50K, so that's real money. So that might happen. Hot takes.
I found the one from One Way. I like Kyle Stewart versus Eric Koch will be the highest scoring fight on the card.
Okay, wow, that is a hot take.
So, Chris, you got your hot take?
Yeah, let's say that Ori finds Dawodu's chin and finishes him.
Woo, I like it.
I like that one too. My hot take will be... we're going to see...
I'm going to start referring to Nadala as World Buck, because that's easier than either of his names. So, does World Buck have a hot take?
I rate his. Oh. His was the main event not being inside the disc, not being on the
optimal. Oh, got it. Right. Okay.
My hot takes, which I've been on a roll with, I'm going to go aggressive again because that's the way we do hot takes.
Your hot take was money last week.
This is going to be a Stars and Scrubs week. Three fighters priced 9,000 or over are going to be in the optimal lineup.
Wow.
I think we're going to see some upsets. All right, that's what we got for UFC 240. I gave you all the promo stuff. I'm not going to read it again, other than you should go to rotowire.com/free, 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Thanks, everybody at RotoWire, for letting us do these podcasts. Hopefully they hook us up with some more giveaways, maybe some swag. We'll see how it goes. Guys, enjoy the fights.
Can I just say one thing? I'm not sure. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if this was mentioned or not. If it was, forgive me. But that's 10 magazines we're giving out. So it's the first 10.
And that does include postage. Like, postage is on our dime, right?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chris, are you going to the New Jersey card next week?
I hadn't planned on it, no. But now that Sean can't go, I don't have a reason to go. So.
Well, wait. If DK hooks me up, do you want to come?
If they hook you up, I would love to go, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Yep.
If somebody else is paying, I'm always there.
Yeah, I'll see. I expect to hear from DK in the next couple of days.
Okay, sounds good. But let me just close real quick, guys. The past three of these have gotten over 700 views each. We're climbing and climbing and climbing. We love it. We appreciate all the support. We're going to work on some more giveaways, maybe some contests, as Sean said. Like, comment, subscribe, do all that good stuff. We always appreciate the support. And thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next time.
Later, guys.
Yep.